Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
I just want to just thank Pastor Ro and Pastor Jeff just to give, you know, for giving us this opportunity to actually speak to you guys on this platform, and it's a great privilege. I think last week in the prayer session, we've actually spoken to Rosemary, and I said to her how nervous I am, really, and she said, look, you know, don't worry about it because you're surrounded by friends and family, really, and, you know, that's exactly how we see you guys, and thank you very much for your love, and thanks for giving us the opportunity. I hope when you walked in that you had and that you came with an expectation this morning to receive something from God. It is extremely important to come with an expectation because that's really what the Lord wants. And he wants you to press in and seek him, and he'll depart something to you that will be so precious. I just want to quickly just do a quick prayer before we actually start. Father, may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable to you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you take control of the session and that you will minister to every single heart here. Thank you very much for this lovely day. Lord, thank you for the rain. We appreciate it so much. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Just quickly, while we were busy working through our notes, over the weekend, I stumbled across this beautiful, beautiful declaration. And I need to share it with you because I think it's going to mean just as much to you as it meant to me. And it says, today is a day to lift high the cross, a day to rejoice in the tomb that's still empty, to glorify the Son, and this is Jesus, who's still risen, and surrender to the God who raised him from the grave. Because his faithfulness, his power, his glory, his word, his promises, his love, his kindness will never shift or change. This is our declaration. This is our hallelujah. This is our surrender. This is our hope. Our world is full of change. But today we worship the God who never changes. Amen and amen. Just to quickly, like Pastor Jeff was saying, we're going to be discussing and just talking about Ephesians and the last chapter of Ephesians, which is chapter 6. And it's all about the full armor of God. And the way I memorize it for myself to make it easy is I've got this picture of this armor that I've got to put on every single day. And it starts with putting on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. I gird my loins with the truth, shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I take up the shield of faith, and in my right hand I take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And if you can take us through all the elements of the armor and explain to us what it actually means.
Thanks, Chris. Welcome to everyone today. Our online family, welcome. I want to speak to you guys about the armor of God, and as we go through this, I want you to realize that this is such a prominent key for you to gain victory in areas that you thought you don't have victory, where you've just accepted this is the way that life is. That's a lie from hell. That is not true. God gave us weapons and armor to make us victorious and to give us the victory. So today I want to go through and I want to start off with verse 10, Ephesians 6 verse 10, where it says, where Paul writes and he says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. And that, so Paul directs our attention first and says to us, before we go into this war, that is the place where we will find our refreshment, where we will find our empowerment. And that will be, so we won't be doing this alone, but we will do this with God, in unity with God. So, the other thing that I wanted to just also talk to you guys about is, if you don't know that you have something in your pocket, then you can't use it. So if you are not aware of these weapons and this armor that God's given us, you will never use it. I'm reminded of a story where a man traveled on a boat from Europe to America, and he took provisions with him to eat on the boat. So whenever anybody or the others went out to eat in the dining room, he stayed in his room and he ate his crackers. And at the end of the journey, when he came out, the captain said to him, "But sir, I haven't seen you on this journey." And he's like, "Yes, no, I was in my room." And he said, "But you were never in the dining room." He said, "No, I brought my own food." And the captain said to him, "But sir, weren't you aware that the ticket that you bought included the food and that you were supposed to be dining in that dining room?" But because he didn't know, he didn't partake of it. And it's the same with the weapons that we've been given. If we don't know the weapons that we have been given, we will not use it. And we will be stuck where Satan has been keeping us in mindsets, situations, circumstances that God's actually been delivered us from. So I want to start off with the belt of truth. The belt of truth was a conscious preparation for warfare. So it was, they were consciously and with intentionality preparing for warfare. The belt of truth was also used, or the belt was used in Roman warfare. When they put on their belt, they would take up their, they used to wear long tunics. And those tunics would come in or be in their way when they had to run. So what they had to do is they had to pull up this tunic and stick it into the belt so that it would be out of the way, so that there would be no hindrances for them to move forward, to move fast, to be, so it would position them and put them in a place of readiness when they had to engage in fighting. The belt was also used to put their sword and other fighting gear to attach it to. So if your soldier did not have his belt of truth or his belt on, he would be running into a battle without a sword. He would not be armed. So we need to, what is the truth? The truth is God's word that we wrap around our lives, that we wrap around our families, that we wrap around our work, our circumstances. And when we go, when we start putting that on, we start preparing with intentionality that we will be going out into the world, but we will not go out into the world with lies, but we will be going out into the world with God's truth. John 16:13 says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, He will guide you in all truth. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The next item that we will be looking at is the breastplate. Now, interestingly enough, in my research this weekend, the breastplate was also referred to as the heart guard. And as we put on the heart guard, it says the stuff that I looked up says here that the breastplate was the central part of this Roman soldier's armor. It provided protection from the vital organs. When we put on God's breastplate of righteousness, God gave us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God's word says, for our sake he made Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might be endowed with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship by his goodness. And when I thought about this and when I asked God, Lord, what is this breastplate of righteousness and this hard guard that you're talking about? God said to me, it's when we've pulled that belt of truth around us, our heart guard is there so that it's for us to intentionally guard our hearts against the lies of the enemies when the enemy comes in and wants to bring condemnation on us. Because what is right standing? God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. He gave his blood to set us free, to wash us clean. And that means that whatever was done in the past is now gone. And nothing can be brought against us any longer. No accusation. Why? Because we've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. We've been given the righteousness of Christ. And it's not something that we had to work for. It's not something that we could do to get. It's by his goodness, by his grace that he gave. So when we guard our hearts, when something comes, when offenses come, we have to be intentional in the decision that we will not allow that thing to penetrate through our breastplate, but that we will guard our hearts and choose to see God's word, to choose God's word above what the enemy is trying to send through. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep and guard your heart with vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. So whatever you fill your heart with is what will flow from you. Joyce Meyer says in her book, Battlefield of the Mind, she says, the outward man is the result of an inward situation. So whatever flows out of us is because of what is going on inside of us. And if we start filling ourselves with God's word, with his sense of love, if we allow him in our intimacy times with him, our intimate times with him, we will allow a situation to create a washing of our hearts, a cleansing of our hearts, and we will be able to stand steadfast when the attacks come. Our next item is the shoes of peace. It says here, shoes allows us to step freely without fear while we turn our full attention to the battle at hand. If you think about not wearing shoes in a field, and there's maybe mud or sharp objects in that field, you tread very carefully when you're barefooted. But when you have shoes on, you couldn't be bothered because you're protected. The shoes of a Roman soldier was made from leather. And what I found so interesting is that these shoes had knobs or steel spikes on the underside of it. So that allowed the soldiers, whatever the circumstances or the weather was, they would be able, when they went into battle, to take a stand. They often interlocked their shields, and they would march. They would march towards the enemy. And because those shoes had these spikes, they were steady-footed. They weren't giving ground because they wouldn't slip. They would be steady and fastened. And this is what's so wonderful about Ephesians 6:15. It says, "And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with a firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace." So what does that say for us? That tells us that peace gives us steadiness. Peace gives us a stability in our lives that allows us to see things for what they are. It allows us to see God and take His word and stand on it, being firm-footed, not losing ground. Joshua, God said to Joshua, "I will give you the ground that you lay your foot on." And I believe that is such a word for today and for the church, that you don't have to stand back. You don't have to move back. God said that through His peace and stability, He has shod your feet with peace, and you can start moving forward in that peace. Our next item is the shield of faith. And I think this is one of the items that we need to realize, that we need to take God's word for what it is. It is the truth. The shield of faith, it says, this, it was called a scutum. It was an impressive line of defense because of the sheer size of this shield. Some were 3.5 feet tall and almost 3 feet wide. Soldiers were afforded a great deal of protection from the enemy because it was slightly curved. It was able to deflect attacks without transferring the full force of the attack. And that is so good, because that's exactly what God's word does for us. That's exactly what faith does for us. So what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen." What is faith? Faith is believing God and taking God at His word. Standing on that word, proclaiming that word over your life, over your circumstances. Even when things don't look like they are going the way and the direction that you are wanting it to go, God is saying, "This is my word." And faith is taking that word at it and moving forward with it. Something interesting that I found about the shields that were used in that time was a thing called a boss. The boss was a metal, a round metal part that they had in the middle of the shield. And it says, because of the boss, it was able to deflect even more vicious blows and functions and limited the capacity of the attacker. And this boss would be used to stunt the enemy. They would use this to ram into their enemies and stunt them off and move forward. So they would move and gain ground. So they would stunt the enemy with their shield of faith, and they would move on and over on top of their enemies. A shield deflects the fiery darts of fear, doubt, and worry in our direction. Do you know that when you feel those things, it's the attack of the enemy? Do you know that you can deflect those thoughts, those worries, those feelings? Do you know that you can take up your shield of faith, declaring God's word, saying, I will overcome through Christ who strengthens me? Luke 10 verse 19 says, behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And if we stand on that word, we stunt off the enemy with our shield of faith. We advance and we gain ground and we move forward. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind and keep it set on what is above, the higher things, not the things that are on earth. When we set our mind to allow only God's words to penetrate our thoughts, we advance forward. The helmet of salvation. What is salvation? Salvation means to be saved or delivered from something. God wants to save and deliver us from wrong thinking. Joyce Meyer puts it so well. She talks about stinking thinking. What does that mean? That means that we come into agreement with the enemy's lies of our lives, over our lives. And when we put on the helmet of salvation, that means that God has redeemed our mind, our thinking. God has redeemed the way we see things. Even though we've grown up to see things in a certain light, when God comes over our minds and refreshes our minds, it breaks down every stronghold that the enemy has had over your mind. And he releases his thoughts for you, his thinking for those around you. And when when you put that helmet on, you deflect the thoughts that comes from the enemy. The sword of the Spirit. This is my favorite. The Roman gladius has become known as the sword that conquered the world. And I want to propose to you today that the word of God is the sword that conquered the world. Adapted from a Spanish design, the prowess of the gladius range combat made it a fearsome tool in the hand of a skilled Roman warrior. When sharpened, its dual edges wreaked havoc on unarmored foes, and its tapered point could pierce through even the heaviest of armor. That's what God's word does for us. When we start taking God's word as truth and only truth, we can, in close combat, are we going to get close combat? Yes, we are. Are we going to be victorious in that combat? Yes, we are. Why? Because we believe in God's word. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word that God speaks is alive and in full power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, exposing and shifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of our hearts." And may you use these weapons today. May you realize that you are not here today conquered, defeated. You are here today victorious because God gave us the victory. And through wielding our armor and our weapons that He gave us, we can have the victory. Don't allow the thoughts of the enemy to creep in and penetrate your armor. But allow God to help you, guide you through your intimate times with Him, to guide you how to use, to give you strategies, to give you insight into His heart. I want to pray, and I want to ask the musos if they can come up. You may be saying, "Talian, this is great, but I don't see how this has worked, how this works." But if you will take God at His word, He's no man that He should lie. And if you take God at His word, He will restore to you whatever the enemy's stolen. There is no need for compromise. There's no need to live in a hold of darkness. You are free. I declare over you, you are free. I quickly want to share a story from 2 Kings 4. The prophet Elijah was going through a certain town, and he stopped on his way. This woman saw him coming through this town every time, every year, or often. So she said to her husband, "Let's make a room for the prophet so that when he comes through, he can stay there." And they did that. They prepared a room for the prophet, and he stayed with them. And out of the gratitude that he had towards her, he called her. He said to his servant, "Call the Shemonite woman." And when he called her, he said to her, he thanked her. And then he said to her, "So what is your heart's desire? What can I, you have showed me so much kindness. What kindness can I show towards you?" And she said to him, "My Lord, nothing. Thank you, but I don't need anything." And the prophet's servant said to him, "This woman does not have a child." So the prophet said to his servant, "Call her." And he called her and he said to her, "Around this time next year, you will have a child," because she was barren. And when she heard those words, she said to the Lord, she said to the prophet, "Please don't tease me with that." She was so afraid to trust and to hope in something that she thought would never realize in her life. And today I want to encourage you, and today I want to give you this word, and I want to speak this over you. If you have been too afraid to trust in something that you thought is never going to happen, God is wanting to release hope over you again. He is wanting to give you hope that that thing that you thought will never happen will come to pass. It will be called into your reality. And I want to pray with you for our audience at home. If you feel there's no ways that this is going to be, I want to encourage you and say to you, it will be. Not because I spoke it, but because the Word of God says it. If there's someone out there, I want to ask you all to stand. Let's close our eyes for a moment. Just intentionally point your heart to God. Intentionally place your heart in front of Him at this moment. Do you know how much God loves you? Do you know how much He cared for you? Do you know that God gave His only begotten Son so that you might be saved? If you want to meet this Jesus that we're talking about, if you want to be in a place of victory, put up your hand. Just slip up your hand and we'll pray with you. If you've never given your life to God and you've never made a commitment to Him, I want to encourage you. Our online family, if you at home feel that you want to get to know this Jesus that we're talking about, pray this prayer with me today. Pray with me, church. Father God, I give my heart to you today. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that you wash me whiter than the snow. Thank you that you've forgiven me. Thank you, Lord, that I can now confess you with my mouth, that you are the King of my life. Bless me, Lord. Strengthen me. Help me to build relationship. If you prayed that prayer with us today, get in touch with us online. You'll get some details where you can contact anyone at the church. And please make contact. Please bring. Let us contact you. Come in. You need to build foundation. You need to build relationship with God. And you need to get fed by the Word of God.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.